In this episode of the Aero Roundtable, our engineers are talking about aero gadgets and their value. What are the best aero gadgets? Does it always have to be the most expensive product? And which gadget really brings the most benefit to cyclists and triathletes? 12 minutes fully packed of facts. Sit back and enjoy.
Okay, guys, in our previous podcast discussion, we were talking about general aerodynamics, why aerodynamics is important. Let's do a little bit of a deep dive into the actual aerodynamic products. And where do you get your best bang for your buck, your best watt per euro saving? I think everyone wants to know that. Who wants to roll out the discussion?
Yeah, I think, like, obviously the biggest resistance is on the bike. Like, same with your computer. The issue is not the computer, it's sitting in front of it. So it's the rider on the bike that creates the biggest drag, and therefore a good position on the bike is crucial and costs you nothing but doing a setup on the bike.
And first of all, just to jump in, as Adrian mentioned in our last discussion, frontal area is king when it comes to aerodynamic drag, so reducing your frontal area. So both your body is the biggest frontal area on the bike rider system, so that's where the most drag is, but therefore at no cost, you can optimize your position, maybe with a little bit of yoga, a little bit of stretching, and you can already there, without having to buy anything, reduce your aerodynamic drag by being a little bit more compact.
I think, like, the upper body is here the point to talk about, and that's also the biggest difference, or the kind of the purpose a TT or triathlon bike has, is to get the upper body in a more horizontal position. And then that's what you want to do, and at the same time, maybe your arms in general, you want to get them in front of your body, in front of your legs, so that they're not too wide, which you do with a TT bars on the bike. And if you, like, get everything as close together as possible, as horizontal as possible, it's a good thing. And you need to do flexibility and strength training, and I think that's quite crucial.
Yeah,
because it's important not just to have the right setup, but also to be able to ride it for the whole time of the race.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, as you mentioned, you know, core strength allows you to be in a flatter position. And, like, if we jump quickly to road cycling, everyone who watches a bit of World Tour cycling, pro racing, will see all of the riders in the breakaway who are up front have their forearms horizontal. So this kind of puppy pose position, if you want to call it, they're laying horizontally with their forearms on the top of the handlebar. You know, this is where you get the biggest benefit, but you need to have a strong core to be able to ride that for long distances. So I think, you know, this training, yoga, strength training, stretching, really important.
Yeah, and then maybe to give some numbers, I think TT position compared to road bike position, we're easily talking at 45 kilometers per hour, 50, 70 watts easily.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's huge.
My go-to numbers, like, on a TT bike, between being on the base bar and being in the TT position, is typically around 70 watts for most athletes. So, you know, there's a lot to be had. So, you know, being compact is king. But if we jump into, okay, we've found ourselves, we've done a good bike fitting, you've got a position which you can ride for longer. Nonetheless, the biggest frontal area, the biggest chunk in the wind is still the body. I'm going to hand over to Kevin, because Kevin, you're our textiles R&D engineer, expert in this field. What can we achieve with textiles and why?
So, yeah, we still have the main part of the drag is the body. We reduce it with the frontal area, but that we still have a big drag. And so we can play with what we call the drag coefficient, which is how aerodynamic your body is. And the body is actually a combination of a lot of cylinders, and that's an assumption that's used, and that's how we develop textiles. And by using the right roughness and adding some texture on the textile, we can reduce this drag coefficient, and we can reduce the actual drag of the body. So that's the second way. Either you can work on your position, or you can work on the suit and the texture of your body, which is by the suit.
Or both.
Or both. And that's how you're going to have your best drag gain.
I just want to highlight, you know, what you just mentioned. In aerodynamics, cylindrical round shapes are kind of not good. But unfortunately, our body is made up of cylinders, like you said, like our arms, our legs, even our torso is quite cylindrical. So, but that also gives us a lot of opportunity with these textiles. And I think, you know, we've got a calf sleeve here. You know, like, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, okay, this is then for the cylindrical part of our leg, the lower leg in this case, you know, what this does and kind of what sort of benefit does this bring us?
So on small parts like the leg or the arm, we usually don't have enough roughness. And what we want is we add as maximum roughness. And here with the calf sleeve, so what we did is we chose a textile and we tested multiple textiles, I think more than 50 at the end. And we tested multiple positions, and what we ended up is with this solution. So you might be surprised with the horizontal stripes and think that that is not roughness. But when you actually think about it, when you are on your bike, your leg is never vertical.
Your lower leg, at least.
Your lower leg, at least, yeah, your calf sleeve. Yeah. That's why we're speaking about calf sleeves. And if you see when you develop actual suit, you can have similar textiles on the arm, but they will be on the vertical orientation because you're adding roughness and your arm is going to be vertical. So that's why we bring roughness, and with such a textile, you can have a calf sleeves 4 to 8 wide, I think, at 45.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm
wrong. Yeah, easy. So you know, we saw, I think we had our average was around about sort of 6 watts, but we saw up to 8 watts at 45 kilometers an hour. But even at 35, at half that speed, it's, you know, 4 watts. Which, you know, to put it into context, is still 2-3 minute time saving on a long distance triathlon if that's what you're doing. So yeah, you know, just shows the benefit you can get through textiles, and that's just the legs. But you know, we've done a lot of suit testing over the years. I think it's key to say that suits are difficult in that every rider has a different position. The suit is very interactive with the rider position, the head position, all of this. But Adrian, you know, we've done a lot of athlete testing throughout the years, typical watt savings that we can measure between good and bad suit setups.
Yeah, it always depends a bit to what you compare, but like a good suit to a really bad suit can be up to 20 watts. And in the areas of the good suits, we are like below 5 watts between different suits.
Yeah. Okay. And I think another point is, you know, one piece suit tends to always be beneficial. So, you know, we see, for example, not just in time trialing, but now any guys racing in road cycling racing have one piece suits. We typically always see a benefit from those, just cleaning up the whole system.
This is independent of the rider. It's like always an advantage to have a one piece suit.
Absolutely.
Independent almost of the brand.
And as a general rule, when you're picking a suit, just try to pick a suit that's tight to your body. Anything that's going to be loose, you're going to have more drag. So as tight as possible. And also try to empty your back pocket, because the bigger your back pocket is, the more drag you add. So if you have just empty bar gels, just try and put them to the trash.
And for the triathletes out there, you know, if your triathlete's triathlon suit has pockets in the back, try not to use them. You have a bento box typically, or buy a bento box for your bike where you can put your food, because, you know, that kind of pockets on the back can be quite detrimental. But if we quickly talk about sort of, you know, bang for your buck, you know, so we said suits, say up to 20 watts between, you know, if you're going out to buy your first high-performance suit, it's going to cost you around 400 euros maybe-ish for a good suit. Calf sleeves, what are we selling these for? I think 95 euros-ish. So, you know, you're getting, you know, half of the saving, but for a quarter of the price. So I'd say, you know, big step up, one of the best bangs for your buck here.
And it's not only the calf sleeves for triathletes, it's also the UCI legal socks, which are very similar, but just within the UCI limitations.
Absolutely. They were really powerful as well. What about shaving legs? That doesn't cost anything. I'm going to do it again next week, my Chewbacca hair leg challenge. We'll publish the results. But last time, it's like 12 watts, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think not shaving legs is a no-go. I think this is one of the cheapest investment into performance.
What does a Gillette Mach 3 cost us? So some good bangs for buck. I would say, you know, your first go to is your suit. You know, it's 400 euros, but you're looking pretty massive savings. I mean, we didn't talk about bike frames. You know, you're going to get a similar watt saving. So with a good bike frame compared to a bad one, you're also looking up to 20 watts of saving. But you know, what's a good bike frame cost you? Upwards of 4,000 euros, so 10 times the price. We didn't talk about wheels. We're going to talk about wheels in a separate discussion because wheel tire system is an important one. So we'll come to that in a minute. But yeah, I mean, I think the summary is
we have one thing more to add. It's like helmet. It's also a very simple thing. Helmets in general are maybe a similar price to textiles, somewhere around 300-400 for a TT helmet, a proper one. And that also already makes quite a big difference, especially compared to a standard road helmet.
Like 5 to 10 watts typically measure. Yeah.
Something like that. And in general, helmet is an easy thing to swap. You can do that one day before race day without probably influencing too much.
True.
Björn just talked about TT helmets, but the helmets we have like in all disciplines of cycling is exposed in the air. As we talked before, like even at very low speeds, aerodynamic drag is the highest resistance. So a good aerodynamic helmet is important for road cycling, for gravel racing, for mountain biking. So I think in all disciplines of cycling, we should focus on the helmet as well.
So there we go. Some good indications there. Suits, helmets, leg, calf sleeves, aero socks, or just shaving your legs. Lots of, say, good cost-efficient aerodynamic optimizations you can make there.